Hi, this is Christopher Daniel Barnes, your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, and you're listening to the Canned Air Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Canned Air, your tribute to comics and pop culture. I am Jeremy Colley.
And I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
And we're bringing you a bonus episode this week. We already had content recording, but you know what? When you can get someone as awesome as this back on the show, you got to seize opportunity, right?
Absolutely.
So we're welcoming back to the show, good friend of the show, the creator of the toys that made us, the movies that made us, the CW's discontinued, just to name a few, founder and CEO of the Nacelle Company, Mr. Brian Volk-Weiss. Brian, thanks so much for being back with us today.
Thank you for having me back.
Always love having you on. Fellow toy collectors or something else for me. I always just get so giddy. So we'll get to maybe some of the newer toys you picked up a little bit later. But first, how have you been, sir? How have you been surviving this pandemic? I think the last time we spoke with you was right at the top of all this.
It's funny, man, like to use a word that I have said more in 2020 than the rest of my life combined times a billion. I am blessed. I am very blessed. My family and the company are hanging in there. So, I mean, as it relates to my family, it's like never better. I mean, sure. I'm used to traveling 10 to 25 days a month, and I haven't been on an airplane in 7 months. So family-wise, A+. We've been very blessed. None of our shows were canceled, and we've been able to soldier through, as they say.
That's just what we're all doing. That's all we can do, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
This is the best we can through all this crap.
Exactly.
First thing we need to touch on, man, is this your new NacelleCast Studios, this new podcast studio you have. Can you tell us and the listeners about it?
Well, you know, it's funny, man. Like, I have my whole career, like, done a lot of things, like, bleeding edge. Like, either nobody had done it before or few people had done it before. And, you know, I was always trying to be, like, you know, first in the race, you know, like, you know, try it, see what happens, whatever. Podcasts, and maybe it's just because we're busy, maybe it's because I'm getting older, I don't know, but with podcasts, I was like, you know what, let me make sure this is, like, a real thing before getting into it. It became very clear the last year or even the year before that podcasts were a quote-unquote real thing, to put it mildly. So it was just time to start doing our own podcasts. You know, it was just, I mean, it was kind of, it was really at the point where it's just kind of stupid. Like, people were like, you know, how come you're not doing podcasts? So we basically finally got our act together, and, you know, we are slowly but surely putting together our first launch slate. You know, we announced we're doing a podcast with Gates McFadden, which is, I mean, it's so funny, man. Last week I was on the phone with, I always hope I don't sound like an asshole when I say this, but I was on the phone with literally one of the biggest movie stars alive. Like, true. I mean, literally one of the most famous human beings on our planet. And all weekend, I was talking about Gates McFadden, and my wife finally looks at me and she's like, "Didn't you have a call with so-and-so last week?" And I'm like, "Yeah, but, and that guy's great." That guy's great. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, I haven't been watching him for 38 of my 44 years. So it's good. I mean, honestly, I was texting with her yesterday. Like, it's so surreal, like, that I see Gates McFadden's name pop up in my inbox. And listen, I know that might sound crazy based on all the other people we work with, but it's, you know, she's the original crew and she's awesome.
Right. And I know how big a Trekkie you are. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure every single time your phone dings, there's a little schoolgirl tee-hee that comes out, because I know every time that someone that I really admire reaches out to us, I'm the exact same way.
Absolutely.
It never ceases to be surreal.
Yeah, so you get it.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us about this show that Gates is going to be doing. I believe it's called Who Do You Think You Are? Can you tell us about this show she's going to be doing?
Well, she came up with the title. She came up with the show. I mean, it's literally her show. We just have the honor of producing and distributing it. And I mean, the title, in an interesting way, I mean, it says it all, because obviously the expression is kind of, you know, the usual expression is like you're acting like an asshole. Who do you think you are? But what the title means in this case is, who do you think you are? Like, what do you think about yourself that makes you? And that's, so it's going to be a deep dive into, for lack of a better expression, some of her friends over the years, some of which may be famous, some of which maybe not. And it's, you know, it's not going to be asking Brent Spiner, hey, what was it like putting on yellow makeup? Which, you know, I've known the answer to that since I was, 14.
Sure.
So it's trying to take people that you are familiar with and you've been seeing talk, like, about things your whole life, but asking questions that have never been asked and getting answers that have never been given before. And I'll be honest with you, like, as I'm sure you know, like, I go to conventions every now and then. I never, ever go to panels, ever.
Yeah.
And the reason why I don't go to panels is, especially in the digital age or social media, I usually know the stuff before they say it because it's already been made public. You know?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Then you sit there in a room that you can't leave, and you know, they ask, Michael Heen, you know, how come it said the pulse rifles were caseless, but you could see cases shooting out of them in every scene in Aliens? And it's like, I truly don't know how these people deal with it. Like, I've only been doing press for 3 years, and I get asked the same questions over and over again. Like, yeah. Someone like Michael Heen, like, you know, they've been asking that about the stupid caseless pulse rifles, you know, for 30 years. You know, they sit there and be like, well, you know, I didn't make the gun. So, yeah, so this show is the opposite of that, where there's going to be questions you would have not. And part of it is, Gates is like if she had picked another career, she should have been a researcher. I mean, she is the queen of research. I mean, she is like doing massive amounts of research on the guests. And by the way, a show that I know is successful, but I honestly do not believe it gets enough credit for how brilliant it is Carpool Karaoke. And that they must do so much research on that show, because there are people he's had in the car that, like, I have not learned a new thing about in decades. And like, I'll watch a 20-minute thing on YouTube and, like, I've learned 30 new things about the person. So
right.
That's what we're trying to do.
And that's incredible. You know, it reminds me of a conversation we just recently had with Larry Hankin, who portrayed Mr. Heckles in Friends, and he was in Seinfeld and stuff. About three quarters of the way through the interview, the conversation, by the time it got to the part where I was going to ask all these questions, now, mind you, these are questions I already know the answer to.
Right.
I just broke out and said that to him, Larry, I don't want to ask you these questions. I really already know the answer to them, and we're just having a great rapport here. And I kind of evolved from that. You know, I try my best now to ask questions that no one else is asking. So that's a great angle to be taking with this show, because how many times can you hear the same facts? Like you said, in this digital age, YouTube, other podcasts, right. You know, there's just so much information everywhere. It's easy to get saturated.
Well, when I used to go to Comic-Con, you know, in like 98, 99, you would have to go to the panel. And it would be amazing, and you would feel like, oh, my God, I have a secret. I was just in a room with 1,000 people, and of the 8 billion people on the planet, like, only the 1,000 of us know it. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll be at Comic-Con walking around, and I'll get a text from Den and Geek being like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, I'm glad I didn't sit in a room for 3 hours.
It's funny. I know that at least Wizard World has really tried to kind of recapture I guess, the panel experience, because they used to let, when we started doing the cons, all kinds of press was allowed to go in there, do audio recordings, filmings, all kinds of things. And then they were just plastered on YouTube. And about 2 years ago, they put a hard stop to that, you know, just trying to keep that content as original to the experience as possible.
Smart. I'm glad I didn't know that. I'm glad they're doing that. I think that's really smart.
Yeah, and I think most people, if not all, should do that. I mean, you know, when San Diego comes around, you're going to see every one of those panels on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, there's a part of me that is grateful because I wouldn't be able to see them otherwise.
I want to see the trailers, too.
All the same, like Brian said, you don't have to sit there through all that to get that information anymore.
Yeah, but it's the same thing with trailers. Like, I saw the WandaVision trailer that came out last night.
Yes.
I don't know what the fuck that show's about, but I know I want to see it.
Right.
I'm dying to see that show.
It's a perfectly baited hook, because you're absolutely right. Watching that trailer was just nonsensical.
What the hell is going on here? Yeah. Literally, by the way, the first time I watched it, I got to be honest with you, it kind of creeped me out a little bit. Then I watched it a second time, a third time, a fourth time, a fifth time, and I'm like, I don't know what this is, but it looks good.
I have my suspicions about what's happening, but that's just because I'm such a comic nerd. I think I know where they're going with it, but I don't want to say anything. I don't want to spoil anything. It looks...
Don't be like my wife and accidentally guess the ending.
No.
She does that all the time. It's not like a spoiler, like she knew and told me. She'll just guess it.
Yeah, and
like, perfectly.
I've done that before. What was that M. Night Shyamalan movie? The you know, he was always so big on having twists.
Yeah.
He did that movie, The Village. Have you guys seen that?
Oh, yes.
Well, that's the biggest irony ever, because I never guess endings, like, except him. I knew the kid was dead. I knew there was some shit with the water, signs. Like,
yeah.
And I don't get, like, the most obvious movie that everyone guesses the ending to, I'll never figure it out. But, like, for some reason, it's like I'm in sync with his strategy, and I'm like, that a kid's dead. And by the way, Dead Again, there's a lot of movies like this, like Dead Again, where you're like, oh, that's a Star Trek episode.
Oh, man.
Tom Cruise movie where he keeps waking up and going back to waking up and dying, waking up and dying, like... That's Cause and Effect, Season 5, Next Generation. Like, Spotless Mind, Eternal Thing, the Jim Carrey movie. They did an episode like that every single season of Next Generation. And I'm like, well, someone likes Star Trek.
Get an original idea, guys. Jeez.
Wow, they really know their source of inspiration, I guess, right? Damn. So as far as other shows you plan to put on this network, you know, this Gates McFadden show is set to be your first. What kind of content are you looking to fill your network with?
Well, it's interesting. For the first time in my career, we are not launching with comedy. Everything I've done has started with comedy, and then we basically evolved into something else. So our first four shows, one of which is Gates, are all pop culture, pop history shows. Mm-hmm. And they're all fun. There's nothing serious. You know, we're not doing How to Make a Murder or whatever. We're not doing anything like that. If I had to guess, we never will. Now that I said that, I'm sure we'll do it next week. But anyway, once I feel like we have like 5 to 10 of these shows that are super high quality and super, you know, we're able to distribute them regularly, then I think we'll start doing some comedy shows as well. But all I care about is the voice is, you know, original, you know, they have a really, and I don't literally mean like what they sound like over the air. What I mean is like, they have a point of view that's unique and interesting and some degree of funny. Like, that's the other thing about Gates. Like, I mean, the first time I ever spoke to her, I laughed more, not at her, of course, but with her, like, than like anything I've ever seen her in times a million combined. So, you know, it's just like, that's also what's cool. Like, I want everyone to see how funny she is. Like, she's hysterical. So, like, that's really a big part of this as well, where, like, I really want to surprise the audience, and not like in some, like you were saying, like the ending of Signs or whatever, just whatever that lovely movie was. But where I was like, oh, he's dead, I'm out of this. But my point is, like, just like, you know, when you watch it, or sorry, you know, when you listen to it, when you hit play, there's going to be something, even if it's just one thing, there will be something to have justified your time. Like, I think right. that is so important for content making, and I feel like it's so easily forgotten, where, like, you know, I watch documentaries all the time, and, like, you know, they'll see it, you know, there'll be a shot of some guy, you know, staring at the ocean as the sun sets, and I'm like, what do you think at 7:30 in the morning with my kids running around screaming that I want to see this guy staring at the sunset? Whereas another documentary, I'll give you a great example. I just saw Class Action Park HBO Max. Every single second in that film was calculated and thought about and added to my experience. Like, there was not a single frame where I'm like, wait, why is this here? Like, who, like, what's going on? Like, I would hit, anytime my kids came in the room, I would hit pause, and when they left, I would rewind. Like, that is what we should be doing as creative content makers, is just, because you have to show respect for the audience's time. Everybody's busy. There's so much stuff to do and watch. No one wants to see some random dude staring at a sunset. So right. we're going to try and do that same thing with the podcasts, where when you hit play, you know it will add knowledge, or you will be laughing, or if it's a 45-minute episode, like, that will be, you will be happy you chose our podcast instead of doing anything else in those 45 minutes. Within reason. I'm not trying to imply there's nothing better than a podcast episode we produce, but you know what I'm saying. Like, right. yeah. we want to add value to people's time.
Which is so important, especially in the podcasting community, because there's in... I am not going to sit here and assess our catalog, whether it be a waste of time or good listening, but the medium is so saturated with just shows that, like, if people just sit, I think if they have a mic and if they're recording their voice, it's content.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
and a lot of the time it's not. And I'm sure I fall into that group, you know, at some point. But yeah, to actually put the...
Well, it takes work.
Yeah.
You have to put the work in. You have to do the research. Yeah, it can't just be about your charming personality. Like, it has to be about the information that's being given. And that's true with movies and TV shows. Sure, it's not true with podcasts.
What's the takeaway? What's the listener's takeaway? If you don't have an answer for that, you maybe have done something wrong, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, there's a Toys That Made Us episode that I am very depressed about. And, like, I feel like the other 11 episodes, once a minute, we bring value to the audience. And the one episode, I'm not going to say which one it is, but the one episode that we didn't do that on, it drives me crazy. Like, it literally drives me crazy. So, you know, I never forget that episode when making everything else. And, you know, we just locked a cut on something between you and us, because, of course, I'm sure you're not going to share this episode with anyone. You know, we were a little late. We were about a month late. And it was my fault, because I didn't want to make that mistake. Not mistake, but it's just so important to us that it just has to work. It's like a game, you know, like Lincoln Logs or something. Like, every single piece matters. And to make an episode that's like, yeah, here's the story, like, it can't just be here's the story. Like, you have to find your own way to tell the story so that it rewards the audience. And again, just going back to Class Action Park, like, that, like, if 100 people, if 100 directors tried to make that movie, 98 of them would have been like, there's the park and some people got hurt, you know, A, yeah. B, C, D, E. This doc, like, you think you're watching ABC, but like an hour in, like, you realize, oh, she's not who we thought she was. That guy's not who he thought we were. Like, that guy's not who we thought. Like, that's movie making. That's producing. That's directing. That's editing. And again, back to your question, because I feel like I'm rambling. No. That's what we're going to do with the podcast, or at least that's what we're going to try to do.
That's so exciting. Just knowing that much care is going into it, that much quality control, you know you're going to have something good.
Dude, if you guys knew what we put into an episode of Movies or Toys That Made Us, you wouldn't even believe me. My head of production wants to fucking kill me. But it's just, you know, you can't, you gotta, you know, look at the greats. You know, Walt Disney, his brother wanted to kill him. You know, sure. Snow White was like 800% over budget. And just to be clear, I am a billion, trillionth, zillionth of Walt Disney, so I'm not comparing myself to him. But my point is, in the short run, you may lose money, but in the long run, if people trust your name and your brand, you'll make more money than you would have had you saved money in the short run.
Right. I love your business motto with this, man. I think we might imply some of that to Candair, actually. But
I don't know how much my CFO likes it, but I can handle him.
There you go. So when can people, one, expect the network to premiere, or has it already? And the Gates McFadden Show, who do you think you are?
We are in pre-production on Gates' show, and we are in post-production on two of the other shows. So Gates, of our first four shows, Gates will likely be our third or fourth release, which I think is important and I think is good, because obviously we're going to learn a lot from the first two.
Sure.
So I'm glad, like, our big premiere podcast, not to take away from our others, of course, but, you know, we will have had some knowledge under our belts by the time that day comes.
I'm so excited to hear these shows, especially after hearing everything Brian said to say about the production. It's going to be good content.
They're going to take it up a notch.
Yeah, exactly. Very cool, and I'm, again, excited, but I'm also very excited to know what's down the pike for the Toys That Made Us.
Here is my stock answer, and I'll be honest with you. If it was dead, I would tell you it was dead. So it's not dead, but my stock answer is stay tuned.
Oh,
okay.
Okay. That works.
Yeah.
It's not dead. That's all that matters.
Right.
That's all that matters. It's such a good show.
There's more coming.
Yeah.
It's not dead. And Movies That Made Us, we have episodes coming out reasonably soon.
Able to say any of the movies that we're going to be seeing, or no?
Not yet, but I'll give you a hint. The first episodes that come out will be holiday related.
Okay.
Christmas vacation. That would be cool. All right. Another question I always throw your way, and this is just, I guess, not gratification, but just indulging myself. What new toys have you acquired, Brian? I think the last we spoke, you had just gotten the Plo Koon bust, and I believe you had acquired, what was it, like an early 80s Kenner, like, employee award or something, which is, I'm still jealous about.
Yep, hold on. This is why I love answering this question working from home. Let me look around the collection room and see what is new. Literally today, four boxes came. So,
oh, wow.
The answer to what is new is rapidly evolved. I have a first shot. That's literally like when they put plastic through the mold for the first time ever, just to see what the mold looks like.
Sure.
I got a first shot of the 83 Emperor figure of his head. So it's white, kind of gray, gross plastic, all white and gray, like no color other than white and gray of his head. I got two wonderful. My second favorite character in all of Star Wars is Ahsoka Tano.
Yes.
And I just got two very, very cool prototypes. One of her first figure ever, and one of, like, I think her fourth figure ever. So I got that. Oh, another thing I just got, I'm very excited about. Do you guys know who FX7 is?
Boy, I feel like
FX7
I should.
FX7 is he's the droid from Empire Strikes Back with all the arms sticking out of him.
Yes.
When Luke is in the Bacta tank.
Yes.
Okay, okay.
They were going to put a micro line before they canceled it because it was a disaster. They were already planning on what the second line would be. And they were going to do a big Bacta tank micro line that got canceled. And I have a prototype of the FX7 figure. That is new. That is officially new. Oh, the other thing I'm so excited about is my favorite G.I. Joe comic of all time is issue 34. The title is called Shakedown. And it's all about, it's like the greatest comic ever. Like, it's so funny, like, everybody who's into G.I. Joe comics, their favorite is this, like, completely silent Snake Eyes issue, and it's a great issue. Like, I'm not taking anything away from it, but to me, issue 34 is even better. The entire issue, if you're not familiar with it, is a dogfight between Ace and Lady J in a Striker, and the Baroness and Wild Weasel and a Rattler. Literally 40 pages of them just running around the air shooting at each other. Mm. And I finally got a beautiful Sky Striker and a beautiful Rattler. That I've wanted like my whole life. So even though it's not like a prototype or anything unique, for some reason I had never bought them. So now I have.
They don't have to be prototypes to be unique, but my God, I'm so glad that question never comes to me because I can't compare with these things you're bringing home. I just got a Happy Meal toy. That's what I got. But
Don't get me started on Happy Meal shit. I'm all about the fast food toys. I have a whole shelf dedicated to fast food toys.
Me too. I adore them. I love them. They're some of the best toys ever made. If you ask me, that needs to be an episode right there.
All right.
That needs to be an episode.
I have been beating that drum for a long time, I promise you.
I will help you beat it. Just let me know where I need to be. That sounded gross. All right, Brian. Well, I won't take up any more of your time this evening, but man, thank you so much for coming on. We do have Gates McFadden coming on, what, next month?
Yeah, the 7th of October. Well, yeah, early October.
Early October, so to talk more about her show and the network. So I'm so excited to hear more, and I guess indulge the little bit of Trekkie that's in me, too, like you've been doing, Brian. So very cool. Again, thank you so much for being here, and congratulations on all your success, man.
No, first of all, thank you for saying that. It's very kind. Second of all, like I said, you know, you guys are so supportive. I'll be completely honest with you. This is how supportive you guys are. Like, sometimes you guys post things on Instagram and, like, tag me or whatever, and I'm like, oh, shit, I forgot that was today. And then I share it. So you guys, it's like, you're helping us. So I'm very appreciative of that.
Anytime, man.
Absolutely.
We wouldn't do it if we didn't believe in the work that was coming from you. So, yeah, keep it up, man, and thank you.
Cool. Thank you, guys. Stay safe. 2020.
Will do, man. Yes, yeah, yes. Yeah. Keep the masks on, right?
Hell yeah.
All right, and that was Mr. Brian Volk Weiss, again, of the Toys That Made Us, Movies That Made Us, the Nacelle Company.
Yes.
Just bringing all kinds of awesome entertainment our way, and I always love talking to Brian. He's so cool to talk to, and I just want to root through his fucking toys. But, yes, again, stay tuned. Like Randy had mentioned earlier, early next month, we will be having Gates McFadden on. And if there's anyone out there who doesn't know who she is, she portrayed Dr. Beverly Crusher in the Next Generation. Yes. Star Sex series. Is that what I said? Star Sex? Well. I'm sure there's a parody out there somewhere. Star Trek series. But other than that, I think that's going to do it for this episode. So, Randy, what have we on the website?
Go to cannedairpodcast.com. Check out previous episodes. Look at our Hall of Heroes. See our special guests. And if you're interested in coming on the show, reach out to us on our contacts page.
And find us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and Instagram at Canned_Air. And if you want to show some support, head over to patreon.com/CannedAirPod. $5 a month gets you access to the Canned Air Patreon pod. And if you don't have money to, support the show, but you still want to show support, head to iTunes or just any of your podcast player of choice. Leave us a review. That stuff, that's not just pumping our egos up, making us shine our nails on our shirt, going, another review, boys. No, this actually helps us. This gets us at more exposure. The more reviews we get, the more exposure we get. So that's just as important. So iTunes reviews, podcast player reviews, anything you guys can do for us, we much appreciate. If you need professional representation, look no further than our boy, Steve Joyner. You can hit him up at 816-605-4561. Any kind of representation you might need. You're absolutely a podcaster, actor, singer.
He will bust his ass for you.
Yeah, he definitely will. So again, once again, Steve Joyner, 816-605-4561. Randy, what am I forgetting?
So if you're sitting around with not much to do on a Tuesday night around 9 p.m. Eastern, check out Jack and I as we play some Jackbox games, join in, potentially win some prizes, and hang with part of the Canned Air crew.
There it is. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy watching it myself. So, all right, I think that's going to do it for this week. Until next time, I am Jeremy Colley.
And I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
Thank you so much for listening, and always remember to be excellent to each other.
Puppy. Oh no!
Don't run, it'll only make things worse.
Mutt!
Remember, you never want to approach a stray dog, especially one that's foaming at the mouth. Get away from the animal as quickly as you can and tell a grown-up.
Hey!
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
This has been a Canned Air production.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Warriors in Their Own Words, a podcast that presents the unvarnished, unsanitized truth of what we have asked of those who defend this nation. As a country, we need these stories more than ever. Stories from Americans who have borne the battle, including 30-year-old remastered interviews with veterans from World War I recounting their time in the trenches of Europe, and with veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and from our most recent conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other battlefields Americans may never have heard of. Hear their stories by listening to Warriors in Their Own Words wherever you find podcasts.